Our portion today is in two sections, very close together, but in two sections, is in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, chapters 15, verses 26 to 27, and then in the following chapter, verses 4 through 15. John 15, 26 to 27, and then John 16, 4 through 15. And the Gospel of the Lord says to us, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." Now 16, 4 through 15. "But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you." The works of the Holy Spirit. Verse 5. "But now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For I do not go away. The Helper will not come to you. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but on whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you all things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you." Praise. "All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take mine and declare it to you. Blessed be the name of the Lord, and for his gospel." You may be seated. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Oh Lord, Holy Father, thank you that you are not only holy to us, but because of Jesus, your Son, our Lord, we can call you Father, for he lived a perfect life on our behalf and died the death that we deserved for us. And we can call you Abba, because the Holy Spirit in us lets us hear you through word and sacraments, that you love us, for we are yours, and nothing can snatch us from your hands. For as we sang just now, it is the grace that saves us, it is the grace that keeps us forevermore. And we praise you for this, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done and what you're about to do as you work to configure us into your image and likeness, Lord, where one day, finally, we will see you face to face. For we will be holy as you are holy. For in us, there's nothing good but what you do to us by Christ for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen. Now let's unpack the gospel. I've entitled this message today, Our Advantage. Our Advantage. Go back to the first two verses from John 15, 26 to 27. "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. If you've been listening carefully and you've been around church life long enough, you know that today we're celebrating Pentecost. And the previous Sunday we celebrated the ascension of Christ. But let's unpack this. But when the Helper comes, Jesus is preparing them. He is telling them, Pentecost is coming. Pentecost is 7 weeks, 7 times 7 days, 49 days. But when you read it, it says, when Pentecost has fully come, the 50th day, the beginning of the 8th week, something markedly new. Remember that number 8, something markedly new is there. That's why you have circumcision, the covenant seal, on the 8th day of the newborn boy. Because on the 6th day, on the 6th of 7 days, Jesus had ascended. Last Sunday, we commemorated Ascension Sunday, when Jesus was taken up before the apostles and 500 witnesses. This is our Christian religion. 6 is the number for men. 7 is the number for God. That God came down from heaven, took on flesh to redeem his elect by living the perfect life and dying the death we so deserved for us. He doesn't leave us orphans, but gives us the Spirit himself. The holy, eternal, almighty God living in us, enabling us to hear him by the preaching and the reading of the word, the sacraments of baptism and communion, the Eucharist, all for us, his beloveds. Thus we too bear witness of his salvation for us. Whenever you hear that word witness, it's martyrs. We are to witness for his glory to the point of martyrdom. The word witness is martyr. And we are to rejoice if that presents ourselves like the early Christians. You would tell them, Caesar is Lord, and they would say, no, Jesus is Lord. But we'll execute you. And they pull me to the next, cut here. Right? God is sovereign and in control of all things. Even when things go bad. For it is the grace that saves you that keeps you. The same Almighty God that stopped the lions from eating Daniel closed the teeth on the Christians in the Roman circus. God's still in control. And here we are all in between on this side of eternity. Let's go back to the Gospel. 16:4-15. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. Here again, Jesus is anticipating the apostles for Pentecost, of Pentecost coming. By the way, this dialogue, this is in the last week. This is the Last Supper. Remember, the Gospel of John, 2/3 of the Gospel of John is between Palm Sunday, triumphal entry, and Resurrection Sunday. 2/3. Very significant. But listen to what he adds in this little portion that we just read here. Didn't tell you all these things, for I was still with you. This is meaning that later and now for us, the Spirit in you is as I, my very self, am with you. You got that? What the disciples, later apostles, looked forward to in 3.5 years, we have now. some differences. We'll get to those later. Very self, I am with you, so that when you hear and read the word, partake of the sacraments, He is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. The work of the Holy Spirit. By now I go away to Him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Christ is connecting this dialogue back to us. To us is chapter 14. There in the Last Supper, the dialogue in the upper room. I am the truth, the way, and the life. For us, that's just, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Very significant. But to the Jewish listener, they're walking into the temple and going into the Holy of Holies. The first entrance arch, it was written on the stone, the truth. The second, the way. And into the Holy of Holies, the life. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. This is the comfort that He is giving them. And listen, when I die, this is one verse. You got to preach it at my funeral, because I'm going to preach it at yours. Exchange the favor. Right? Because He's the covenant-keeping God. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Many mansions. You know what that means? That your loved ones, He's got up there waiting for you. It also means that you're going to die. And I will prepare a room for you. That where I am, you may be also. If that doesn't bring you comfort, my Lord. But they were saddened by the language of goodbye. It's understandable. That's understandable. I've been without my wife now for a few days. And people have been very nice. Mighty made me hot dogs. My wife made me favorite meals. I ran out of lentil soup Friday night. I'll do things for food. But she was a praise, so she prepared for me. That's loving. That's not leaving you all alone. Right? Please don't tell her that I was pressure cleaning the church roof for all these weeks. Because I told her I was in bars with women just to put the fear in her that I would leave her. Okay? So. That's what's going on this week. Let me let the church know. Some of you we've let know. Monday we had a new baby. My oldest, my daughter, had a baby boy, Michael. But my youngest son, who has no children of his own, was approved to be foster parents, him and his wife. So that's what my wife is up there in Orlando preparing the nursery for. The baby might come Monday. And I might have kids pretty soon that have no shade related to me. And I praise God for that. And I praise God and I thank God for my son. This is not just now. He's grown up like this. With a heart for the needy. And his wife also. And now I can't read my notes. Verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. Here is the message for this morning. His Spirit for us is for our advantage. Abraham and all since Adam's fall looked forward to this day. And Pastor David has been more generous calling, and let me be generous too, Pentecostals and the Charismatics are cousins. Sometimes I wonder. Even though my first pastor was supposed to be from the Assemblies of God, he was ordained by them. But his better friends were Reformed Baptists and Presbyterians. So I didn't know how messed up things were until he retired. And then I saw different churches. I knew a lot of churches because I go to weddings as a photographer. But that was it. I saw the best. I didn't know what was going on and what they believed and teached and preached. And a lot of my charismatic Pentecostal friends tell me that people like me and my first pastor, who's supposed to be one of them, are dead. That we have no communication skills because we have no power. If there's one word they've learned, it's dunamis, where we got dynamite from. They say that we preach and we teach and all we do is teach. We're brainiacs. That we have no power to preach. We're going to develop that. We're going to get back to them because first I want to go to our side, the Baptists. But there is no other advantage. We are all the same. When you believe, you received everything. Everything. All the goods. One baptism. Not as many as you can make up to see if you can. You don't need any other altar calls to get right with God again. You're right with God now for what Christ has done already. It's never our works. Abraham looked forward. And this is why Simon, when he took baby Jesus in his arms, "My eyes have seen the consolation of Israel." Very God of very God and sinful men giving us consolation. That's that same Holy Spirit in all of us. That is our consolation. And we can continually hear as we repent, "Your sins are forgiven. Therefore, repent." See, that's a simultaneous. We can never repent until we've been born again. "His holy wrath was placed on Christ for you and quenched once and for all eternity. So we hear, Shalom aleichem, aleichem shalom, peace be unto you, and unto you be peace." This is why we are here. We need absolution. For we come to a church with and from a week of brokenness and sin. We are needy. He is the giver of all good things. He is, and His very best is Himself for us. Now this is the impact on the church, on the Christian witness. This is what the Holy Spirit does. And when He has come, verse 8, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9, of sin because they do not believe in Me. Like I said, believe and repentance is simultaneous experience to us. Sometimes we think it's our working that we can be born again. No, we're not. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. And as we cannot see the wind, just experience it, so is with God in us through the Holy Spirit. Nicodemus wondered, the teacher of Israel, "How can I climb back into my mother's womb?" There you go again, Nicodemus. You want to do works. You want to climb. You don't come to Me, Nicodemus. I come to you. That is religion. It's a good work. Start using it. It's not a bad work. It was popularized by D.L. Moody. Utilized by Billy Graham. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. And Billy Graham goes on to write a book, How to Be Born Again. He's still like Nicodemus. What I do. It's not what you do. It's what's done for you. Now there's responsibility. But listen, very few have died like Elijah and are taken up in a chariot of fire. By the way, for persons like me, that's a motorcycle. There's nothing like worship music at 35 miles an hour on a motorcycle. That's my chariot of fire, my therapy. By the way, this morning I spat. I came fast to church. That means I did the speed limit. Because the printer at home, I haven't printed on it. I had to print the sermon here. So I did the speed limit today. My wife will be proud. I'm a very slow driver. I can only deal with things at the speed that I can think. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you see me no more. What does this mean? Verse 11. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Satan is done. Christos victors. He's done. He has no more power over us. The grave can't scare us anymore. Because he was sinless, the grave could not hold him. Right? Because of his righteousness that we represent when we speak of him. Our religion, like all other, are historical religions. All religions are historical. But unlike others, it can easily be debunked. Think about that. Whenever somebody tells you, but you really believe this, a leap of faith, in darkness, well, no, not really. It's historical. It's historical. But you mean to tell me that I cannot give you any reason for you not to believe? And I go, no, of course not. Right now you can give me a reason not to believe. Of course. Show me the body. And we're done. Show me our Lord's body that the grave could not hold, for he was sinless. And we're done. Nothing to do. You can't do that with Muhammad. It's just a set of rules. Can't do that with Confucius. It's just another set of rules. Can't do that with Buddha. There's barely any rules. They all break them somehow. Everything is okay. You can live with your girlfriend. You can be homosexual. You can have the abortion. It's all going to reincarnate somehow anyway. No responsibility. Just show me the Lord's body and we're done. Right? What does Paul say? If Christ did not rise, you wouldn't see me here. Right? I would have invested all my money on those 30 other motorcycles I'd like to have. And I'd be eating hot dogs every day, and Coke, and milk, and die. I don't like the other stuff. I like the hot dogs and the milk and the Coke, and the motorcycles, and playing with my trains. It's not always the other woman. It can be the motorcycles. Since I'm very scheduled and do things at the very same time, most mornings, I see a guy driving to work on a KZ900 jetpack, all green, from the mid-70s. Talk about distracting me when I start my prayer time walking my dogs. That's who we are. We're all this mess. Thank God for God that comes in and strains us out little by little. Verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. The Bible is not closed until Revelation. Okay? So he had more things to say to us. Here's further proof that he was the same God as the Holy Spirit, speaking the same things so that we can finish in writing the book, the Bible, at Revelation, singular. For my charismatic cousins, friends, let's be nice. No, because God has revealed to me, I have a word of faith for you. Good Lord. It's finished. Revelation, singular. You have no revelations for me. You have lies. Deception. and you want my money. No. Verse 13, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will speak, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you all things. But here's the thing. Do we hear this? But whatever He hears, He will speak. God says, I am love. You know why He says that? Because He is a triune God. And eternally, the communion is a communion of love. And we are to be expressed and to be part of that communion. The Father loves the Son loves the Father, the Spirit loves the Father loves the Spirit loves the Lord, Jesus. Do you see that? That's right, that's the language here. But whatever He hears, from who? From the Father, from the Son. It's all in agreement. Our redemption is from a triune God. But here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with Pentecost. And this I learned from my first pastor, ordained by the Assemblies of God, who got along with Presbyterians and Reformed Baptists. There's nothing wrong with Pentecost. But everything wrong with Pentecostalism. Nothing wrong with Pentecost. Everything wrong with Pentecostalism. All isms other than Christianism is wrong. Autonomous religious worship isn't new. Cain, that I'll argue to you, if you develop your Jewish interest a little more, you're going to see this. Cain, did he bring the correct offering? No. He worshipped the way he wanted. He wanted to be autonomous. A law unto his own self. He knew exactly what he was supposed to bring. And by the language there in the Hebrew, it was on a certain date, at a certain time. This was a practice. I argue to you that this was Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Passover would come much later with Moses. And in Jesus, both of those dates are one. Atonement. I wish we had a word for this in Spanish. And I keep pushing Pastor David that now that he's a doctor, he'd come up with one. A una vez. Done. Deal. Sealed. For in Spanish, we have to express it with both words. Propitiation and expiation. In English, we have the same Jewish word. Right? Atonement. At once. Done. For you. Right? A little later. Nadab and Abihu. Aaron's sons. Priests. Bring forward strange fire. They want to worship however the hell they want. The northern tribes of Israel. The majority again. Vast majority. 10 tribes. They got their own priests, mountain altars, new way. Cross, communion table, baptismal, these sacraments, yeah, old. Doesn't talk to me. Like Loka Mako Contemporary Church has told my good friend twice, in less than a year, that they need a campus pastor, that they'll make him one. What about the call? What about the affirmation? These churches, they're ours, by the way, these are Baptist churches in our denomination, in our association. From West Palm to South Dade. These are crossless, pulpitless, altarless, communion tableless, baptismalless, concert stages entertaining the masses with live rock concert bands and light show. Video projection, motivation speakers. The pastors want to ensure that they keep this system so well that they don't even allow the campus pastor to preach. He's projected on a screen. And they get upset when I tell them, you're there for the entertainment. No, I'm not. How dare you? You're just jealous. You have a little church. No, I'm not jealous, man. You know what comforts me? That Jesus says, don't worry, little flock. It's not in the 10 tribes. They were wrong then, and they're wrong now. These are light shows and video projections, motivational speakers. No law, and therefore, no gospel. Just feel good, for you are His masterpiece. If you listen to contemporary music, you know what I'm talking about. Feel good, for you are His masterpiece. His love is reckless. Anyway, nothing has upset me more recently than that song, Reckless. You know why? Because everything in that song, except that one word, is good. And this is within our own denomination. No, no, no. His love is redemptive. For we are law-breaking sinners. I wish the author of that song, I know his name. Maybe I'll text him. Just change one word. Get it all right. His love is not reckless. His love is redemptive. The musicians might help me. Does it rhyme? Can you sing with it? Huh? Change from reckless to redemptive. And we're fine. He has ordained, predestined us from eternity past. So it's never our work and all His loving work in grace. And we say it's reckless? There's nothing reckless about God. We are reckless. Very reckless. For the rest, I already alluded to this. The power, the miracle working power for our cousins. Pentecostals. Miracle work and power was for the apostles and the validation of their teaching authority for the new people's groups as they encountered them. Handkerchiefs healings early Paul. Right? You remember that? Paul sent handkerchiefs and people get healed because he prayed on it. Tells Timothy to drink some wine to better his stomach. This is Paul while they're sharpening the sword to cut off his head. What happened? Caesar. Yes, I am a cessationist. Can God do miracles? Of course He does. Just not like the apostles in the early church. Just not like at Moses' time. These were for validation of God's men to be used. Just not like at the time of Elijah and Elisha. And just not like at the times of Jesus and the apostles. And with the apostles, it died off. Huh? One good Jew to another half Jew. Timothy. Not even get some of your mother's or your grandmother's chicken soup. This is for us Baptists to grab some attention. Drink some wine. I'm not telling you to go out and get drunk. That's wrong. But it's there. Drink some wine so heal your stomach. No handkerchief. The power has never been in the signs and wonders. Throwback to us. My day, I'm sorry, I had to catch myself. My day was the discos. Dozens of them filled with hundreds of people. Entertainment. Well, other sinful things. When we were amongst men, I'll tell you the most horrible story I experienced with my wife at a discotheque in Fort Lauderdale. I was overwhelmed that day. I'm like, oh, Lord. And I wasn't even a Christian. It was the last time in a place like that. It was called Backstreets. The older crowd might remember that name. Backstreets. Well, the power has never been in the signs and wonders, but in the gospel. Jesus said, a perverse generation is after the signs. Because what happens to those signs? You get your eyes off of Jesus. Right? Listen, it was tongue-in-cheek, if you're my friend on Facebook. When I went to get the Cuban bread yesterday morning, and I took a picture of the truck full of pallets, that we were going to redecorate the church, and we're going to change all the altar, take out the pulpit, communion table, baptismal, and put pallets, wooden pallets all over the place. Seal roof, everything. Because, you know, there's still a little bit of Cuban in me. And if these guys are putting pallets all over the place, I want more pallets. Because Cubans are like Texans. It's got to be bigger and better. Right? Do you see that? Everybody is copying everybody. All these people with the projection screens and the light shows and the smoke. Because this is dead to them. Not just the Pentecostals. Ours. Ours. All we were given for the church is the word, the law and gospel, and the sacraments. That's it. Don't add, don't take away. First thing they do, they got a church, they change the name. All these new churches, they were Baptists before, now they're Baptists undercover. But they throw out the names. It's like if old guys like me and Charles and Arliss didn't exist. We're old. We're bigots. We're restoration. You're missing the point. Those things have been restored. By the way, the Pentecostals, Azusa Street, 1906, founded by a black Methodist preacher, right? They haven't had a black president yet. We did, the Southern Baptist. Restoration, healing, redemption, not reckless God. We all have faults. We all have skeletons in our closets. All we have, this is our business, all we have is the law and gospel and the sacraments. Verse 11, and with this we finish. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Got that? This is where we can hear from God and take. Be ye holy as I am holy. Because in Christ He makes us holy. That is now. Nothing that we do, it's been done. Don't add, don't take away. It is done. Christ for you. Tetelestai. Finished. Perfectly finished for us. And it's proclaimed over you. Why proclaimed and not in us some working? Because in us there's nothing good. And here what comes what Luther said, simul justus et peccator, simultaneously just we're justified, but we're still sinners. Right? I turn around the block with my dog and I see that gorgeous Kawasaki. And I'm like, I want that. Oscar, you got one in the shed. Yeah, but that one. That's all of us. But it's proclaimed over us. Christ's holiness on us. We are covered in His holiness. Notice the language. Covered. Yes, the Holy Spirit comes in so we can hear that we're covered. Not our works. Our very best work, our filthy rags. Verse 15. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that He will take of mine and declare it to you. His perfect life for us. If we messed it up going into the waters, He went into the waters perfectly for us to fulfill all righteousness. John, even the best born of woman wanted to do it some other way. Oh, you must baptize me, Lord. I can. No, John, it's to fulfill all righteousness. Circumcised for us, baptized for us, bar mitzvah for us, everything for us. Live perfectly without a spouse, preparing us for heaven where there's no spouses, no giving in marriage and stuff like that, right? You know, weeks like this that I'm without my wife, I wonder, how is that going to work? I don't want to be without my wife. We'll see. We'll see. I've been longer with her than I was with my parents. But God is for us. And He does all these things for us. Please, let's stand for the benediction. May God the Father bless you and keep you. May the Lord Jesus Christ lift His face before you and give you His Holy Spirit, that you may go in peace, for your sins are forgiven you. God bless you, and go and glorify God. Amen.